Are you standing at a crossroad in life, being called to express yourself in a new way? You could ignore the nudging, or you could answer the call and change the trajectory of your life. Hi, I'm Mary Jo Rathgeb, life transition coach and host of the Creative Directions for Living podcast. I invite you to join me on a journey to explore your potential for expression and step onto a path filled with purpose and possibility. Okay, so welcome to another episode of Creative Directions for Living, the podcast. We have a very exciting guest today, and I'm going to introduce her in just a minute, but I want to introduce the topic first. We are going to be talking about when you're feeling trapped, how do you break free of, you know, what's keeping you stuck in your situation? And today we have Marion McSpadden, and she is, has a really dramatic story, I'm going to say, about breaking free. And so for any of you who are in a situation where you're feeling like, I need to change this, I need to get out, I need to leave, stay tuned, because this is going to be an important story to hear. And so before we get to that, I just want to introduce Marion and tease you a little bit about what we're going to hear. So Marion and her husband own a multi-million dollar company, and she crossed culture and escaped a religion cult in the dark. She wasn't tied or caged physically, but her mindset was trapped. And her biggest disappointment in her new place in life was that most people have something they are trapped in. And through her own experiences of learning, not everything is going to work out in the way she expects, and yet she never quit. She developed a private coaching program, and now she helps others break free from what's not working for them. And so Marion speaks to groups on how to become clear on who they are and to break free. And when things don't work out, you don't quit, because that's how you get to the payoff. And so Marion, welcome.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
You are so welcome. So Marion, now that I have teased everyone about your story, how would you like to just kind of like dive right in and talk about, I'm not even going to call it the creative direction, I'm going to call it the courageous direction that you took, to take your life to a different and hopefully better place.
I did that. I was able to make a big transition in my life. But, you know, I think every listener on this call could probably identify disappointments they've had in people that they expected a certain kind of behavior or strength that they would produce in our lives. Like, you know, everybody does that. We have an expectation that people around us should be a certain way. And I think when you shared how I was disappointed in finding that in my new reality, that it wasn't all peaches and cream and warm fuzzy robes and slippers.
Puppies and kittens.
Yeah, puppies and kittens. It definitely, my reality that I came from and my new reality had very similar things. But what I had to take responsibility was for what I did. And I think that is some of the biggest lessons that I have learned along the way. We can point fingers all day long, and it will keep us trapped. We will be the trapped people when we point fingers at someone else. Doesn't mean they're right, but it just means I am responsible for what I allow in my life and what I don't allow in my life, and to be clear on who I am and to be clear who I'm not.
Yes. Okay. Wow. Okay. And so how does that clarity tie in with your story?
Well, I had to find that clarity, because for the first 33 years of my life, I was trapped. I was trapped in a religious culture that ingrained by generations of people. I was actually born in Pennsylvania, not so far from you. And now I live in the Midwest in the state of Missouri. But in the culture that I was born in, we were indoctrinated that you could never be outside of this culture. If you did, it would not be well for you. You'd probably regret it the rest of your life and eternity. I was told that I would probably go to hell if I would ever come out of this religious culture. And so I believed it. It was normal for me. It felt comfortable for me. And again, that is how we all are. We are all absolutely comfortable with our current set of habits. Do we like them all? No, but we're pretty comfortable with them. It would be easier to make changes in life if we could step out of that comfort zone into a better place without resistance. But again, we're usually the biggest resistance because we're comfortable. And I was extremely comfortable. Matter of fact, I loved a lot of things about the culture that I was raised in. I was born in a family of seven brothers and sisters, and I was number six. So my older brothers and sisters had many children. I remember how proud I was to be an aunt for the first time when I was 11 years old. I loved my little nieces and nephews, and they became very dear to me, and I was comfortable in that. However, by the time I got to be 33 years old, it was not working anymore. Mm-hmm. I was getting to a place where I felt like I would physically die if I didn't have a break free.
Wow. Yeah. And so then what did you do when you got to that point?
Well, I had to do some backtracking because my pain was an accumulation of things. So sometimes it takes the hooks and I like to call them sometimes paw prints of the world system, because not everything that happens in the world is for our good. Yes, it can be turned into good, but it is not for our good. And there were things that happened to me. I was raped when I was 4 years old. Mm. I buried it. I always knew my story. I shared it with a school friend, and she had a similar encounter. And so I just thought, this is what happens to little girls. I did not know it was not normal. I did not know it was not right. Mm. And so I lived with that, but I never told anybody else till I was 33 years old. Mm. And I was at the right place at the right time for that to surface. And so the timing of it was perfect for me. And I think that's for everybody's journey. We are all in a unique journey. And when we get to that transformation stage, the timing is perfect. Mm-hmm. So at this young age, I, of course, developed coping mechanisms, and I became very tenderhearted. I didn't want anybody to suffer. And I carried an emotional burden on the inside that I was comfortable with. It was my normal, but I also learned how to block out. So I blocked out a lot of my school years. I couldn't remember what happened the year prior to it. So I just developed patterns of not feeling worthy or valued, didn't feel like most people loved me. And I didn't know why. It's just how I knew life.
Right. And
again, that's how we all are. Everybody is conditioned to their current set of behaviors or their situations, whether we like it or not. It's yes. where we're conditioned to be, and we have to decide. And so as I grew up, I developed, I was a pretty motivated person to want to succeed, but I developed some very limiting mindsets. Jealousy took root in my life by the time I was in my, you know, later teen years. I didn't want other people to be happy because I wasn't happy on the inside. And I received a lot of disappointments and rejection. I was overweight. I packed on the weight to, I guess, control. You know, we all find control. Yeah, maybe comfort, whatever. I turned to food, and I lived a pretty clean life. You know, some people, when they've been sexually violated, they become promiscuous and do things like that. I lived a pretty clean life. I was very guarded because I didn't want to do wrong. I wanted to be a good person. I had a very high standard of wanting to do good, but falling way short in being able to carry it out, in my freedom and my joy and peace and being able to let other people go to be who they are. And I think when we're hurting on the inside, and that would definitely describe me, I know emotional pain. I know what it feels like to hurt when you feel like your arm's broken, but it's your heart. Mm-hmm. And you can't even identify it. You don't know it's your heart that is broken. It's your normal again. And that's what it was for me. It was my normal. And I think broken lives often are hard to identify when we're in it because it's our normal. So I keep going back to the normal thing because we all have a normal pattern. Yes. And if it's not working, we have to decide, how do I change this? So I grew up, I went through a one-room schoolhouse, grades 1 through 8. I graduated with an 8th grade education. I lived on a 400-acre dairy farm. I loved the farm. I loved kids. I was happy with my nieces and nephews. I was happy with my horse. We actually didn't have cars. We had horses and buggies. And I loved my horse. So it wasn't like I was aching to have a car. I felt trapped in that way so much. It was in my heart I was trapped. In my mindset, I was trapped. And I never thought I would do anything else because I believed the religious culture, the religious teachings that I was taught, that I could never go anywhere else. And I really didn't look for anything else because I was contented with my lifestyle. So I want to be clear that my lifestyle was not what trapped me. It was what I believed and what was in my heart of broken, my heartbreak. And not knowing how to, even though the religion taught us about God, I thought God was this far away, angry person that was just waiting till I messed up and then he'd throw me in hell. And I had no idea how I could be good enough, right enough, or, you know, it was just, it was heavy. It was a heavy burden. And so, and I wasn't good enough. I messed up. I would get angry sometimes, you know, I had jealousy, and then that jealousy turns into bitterness. And so it just becomes a downward spiral. So when I graduated from school, I worked on the family farm. I loved the outdoors. I still do. I'm an adventure girl. If you take me to a hike on some foreign mountain somewhere, I'm happy. You know, that's, those are my happy places, and some running water somewhere. But anyway, to go just a little bit more into my story of my experiences, I became a church member when I was 17, thought I'd be this the rest of my life, and became a school teacher, taught in the same school that I went to. I was a teacher for 7 years. I played with the kids. I worked with the kids. I loved the teaching element of things. But when I got to 7 years, I thought, I think I'm done. I think there is more to something. So I became a midwife, and I supported the women birthing their babies in the homes. And I think that was where the heartbreak that I had, and the nature of childbirth, and my own brokenness, and my own buried secret that I was carrying, I think it was starting to surface. I think it was starting to come to a head, and the responsibility coupled with everything else, I started emotionally knowing that I cannot endure this. And that's where my breakthrough came in.
Wow. I mean, that sounds like, you know, quite a heavy burden that you were carrying for all those years.
I call it now oppression and depression. I didn't know it, that I was depressed or oppressed.
Right.
But that's how I label it now, is I was depressed and oppressed.
Yeah. And you're talking about having an emotional knowingness, but you're also talking about mindset. And I'm wondering, where did the mind shift, the mindset shift occur?
Well, that's my most favorite part of my entire life story. And remember, I shared earlier how I was taught I would go to hell if I did anything else. Well, when I got desperate enough, I started crying out to God. I didn't know God could help me. I didn't know anybody could help me. But I started crying out to him because I didn't know who else. I would walk the country roads by myself, bawling my eyeballs out. And sometimes I felt like it was so intense, like a 5-centimeter labor. I mean, it was just like sometimes one breath at a time. So for me, I had to become really, really uncomfortable so that I would start looking at options. Before that, there was no thought about an option. But in that desperation of saying, I need help, I started crying out to God and he helped me. And when that help came, I wasn't confused anymore. Yes, I had to break free from mindsets and it didn't all break in an instant. But when he came near through a variety of people that started coming into my life and a program called Breakthrough that actually made me talk. And they started like peeling back layers, like onion layers. You might have heard of onion layers being peeled off of our heart because I was so facaded. You know, I had this mask over my entire life and everything on the inside is not who I really was. So I had to peel back layers and they did that through a variety of techniques till pretty soon I didn't have a filter anymore. And in a safe setting, that's where the information came out that I was raped. And I just shared it randomly, not thinking anything of it. But I'd lost my filter and I couldn't be a fake anymore. I couldn't keep things buried.
Yeah.
And that was really my defining moment. And I actually collapsed like a sack of potatoes when that reality hit me. That's what had happened to me. I went unconscious or whatever that state was. I went into an bliss that was completely free from the turmoil. It was so peaceful and so quiet. But, you know, it was in looking back, and even at the time, I knew two things were downloaded in my knowing, my very being, and I know it was from God, that number one, I would be confronting my perpetrator to protect others and to take back my own authority. And the other thing that was downloaded into my knowing, my being of my insight, my emotional being or my spirit, my soul, was that I would be leaving. I would be going somewhere else. I didn't know where, didn't know when. And all of a sudden I'm in these throes of embracing this incredible love that I experienced with this, these encounters of saying, I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to trust man. I'm not going to trust a church. I'm going to put my trust in God. And I'm going to be so near him that I'm in his arms and that I won't go to hell. You know, for me, it was that little hell thing that was superly tormenting me because I didn't want to go to hell. And so that was my real breakthrough, was to absolutely commit myself into the Lord's arms, not trust what I was taught anymore, but trust what I knew on the inside that had become real. And when I spoke that out, I knew things. And all of a sudden, it was like I had an internal guiding system I never had before. Now, the tormenting voices would continue to come and say, hey, you're bad, you're wrong. You, look at what the shame, what will people think about you? I mean, it was like horrible voices. And the oppression and the depression even got more intense because I loved. I loved children. I loved, I didn't want to cause my mother harm. I wasn't that close to her, but I had no intention anywhere. Was there a bone in my body that wanted to bring pain to my mother? And I knew that if I would leave and follow this internal guiding system that I say was the spirit of God, that it would crush her heart. And I knew it was going to be extremely hard for her. And I had two nieces, especially that I was incredibly close to. And I knew it was going to bring a barrier between us and them. But I knew that I needed to do this. And so I just followed it one step at a time, trusted the process, put my trust in the Lord, and cried my way out of there because I was oppressed, depressed, and that horrible pain was with me almost every moment of the time, except in moments when that sweet presence of the Lord would just lift it off of me. And I'm like, this is so good, so right. And I didn't even know it was possible to have this. And so that was my breaking free moment, was to become real and to bare my heart and not hold anything back. And when I did, I was at the right place with people who could continue to support and help me. And other people came into my life that supported my journey. And I actually left in the dark because I knew that if any of my family knew what I was doing, because they loved me too, they wanted me to stay. They wanted to guard and protect me because their mindset was just like mine was before. Right. And I understood that. That was really clear to me that the people that loved me believed just like I did before my breakthrough. Mm-hmm. So how could I criticize them or judge them? But I also was so vulnerable that I knew if they would know, their words could probably stop me because I loved so much. And it was so hard for me to make that break. But in the meantime, I got completely free where the clothing, I got a driver's license, I bought a car, all in, you know, preparation, but I didn't let people know that would be, know that I was making a break. And wow. I absolutely left in the dark.
Wow. Wow. And so then you found yourself on the other side.
Yes.
And what happened?
Well, I went to Colorado. I thought, who am I? You know, if I'm not going to be who I was before, I had to find a new identity. And I really wanted community again. And I wanted a family. I wanted children of my own. And I ended up in Colorado looking to work on a dude ranch because I thought there'd be children there, there'd be animals, there'd be horses, there'd be mountains, outdoors. You know, I thought maybe this is who I was and this would at least be a starting out. But every door that I tried to open in that didn't work. Mm. It just didn't work. So I ended up being invited to take care of an elderly woman in a farmhouse in the country, about an hour and 20 minutes from where I was raised.
Oh, wow.
So I was so close to family, and yet I closed the doors for 9 months because I knew that their words could probably persuade me against what I knew that I now had to do. And it was almost as difficult for me, not as difficult as that break. That final break was the hardest thing I've ever done. I've had to overcome some pretty difficult things since and even prior to that, but that break was the hardest.
Yeah.
And so when I came back to the farmhouse, I was in hiding for 9 months, so to speak. I didn't reveal my identity to anyone. And in that time, my heart healed enough that I felt like I could be communicated with by family. And we had a mutual connection, and I'm so appreciative of them being willing to, you know, meet with this, in their opinion, crazy girl, this crazy sister, daughter, who put them through a lot of, you know, my choices put them all through a lot of agony. And I also confronted my perpetrator the night that I left too. And I, you know, let him know. And I let my family know that, you know, this had happened to me. And I'm just raising awareness so that perhaps other children could be protected. And I left them a post office box as well so that they could contact me through a post office address.
Wow.
And I would write them occasionally as well in those 9 months. But I know that's really hard when somebody disappears and you don't know where they're at. And I felt really bad for them, but I knew that it was the right path for me.
Yeah.
And as soon as I felt it was time to open that door, and I want to invite, listeners into this narrative to say, the things that you want to break free from, whether it's when you want to scale your business or do you want to change mindsets that your family grew up with and they're limiting you, or the news media or things that you hear on social media or things you were taught in school We're all influenced by what we're taught. And is it giving us the freedom and the potential that we have to live our fullest and most meaningful life? And it may not be easy for you. You may not have to leave your family. I hope not. But so that was my other side. And then as I journeyed, I looked for people who I felt had that connection with God in the way that I did, because it was so precious to me. It was so dear and near to my heart. And it was everything that carried me through that whole journey. I knew I wasn't doing this in my own freedoms or my own mindset freedoms. It was the freedom that he gave me and the revelation. He gave me so much understanding that I didn't know. And I know that wasn't for me. I know that was a gift from the Lord to help me, because I asked him to, and he did. Mm. So if you want to be helped, ask.
Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah. Yeah. So as I journeyed, then I was disappointed that there were others who had every freedom in the world, I thought, and they were still trapped. And so I was disappointed many times when I thought, well, perhaps this people group is going to fulfill my longings of my heart for connection and community in the way I am desiring it. And I was broken as well. You know, I missed my family so much. Mm. And it was such a difficult thing to, even after that first meeting, to restore relationships, which I worked on for years to do what I can, and they did what they could, because I remember they believed what I did before I had my breakthrough.
Right. Yeah.
So I never felt like disappointed in what they believed, because I knew what they believed, but it was hard for me to be who I was and for them to be who they were and to cross that bridge. But I was relentless. I would visit them. I would do whatever I could to try to build those bridges. And I didn't do it all right. I know when you're hurt, hurting people hurt people. I was hurt. So I'm sure I hurt back, and they also hurt me a lot too. Mm. So it was painful, but through the years before my mother passed, I was able to spend a week in her house helping care for her. I was able to be with her when she passed. And I just felt like such a restoration had happened for me between me and my mother, but it took a lot of years.
Yeah. Wow. And that's where that persistence and never give up comes in. It sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it didn't happen the first time. It didn't happen the 100th time, maybe. But by persistently laying down my hurts, letting them go free, was what brought me my freedoms. And then I was surprised at how easy it was for me to get trapped in other relationships or emotions, because it was a familiar pattern to allow someone else to control me. And I think that is my biggest weakness. I was needy. I wanted to be wanted. I wanted to be needed. I wanted community. Yeah. And sometimes when we're driven by things that are not, we make mistakes in accepting things because we want something so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then that's actually, you know, part of like when I talk about, you know, the trap of people pleasing, it's exactly what you're talking about. You know, it's that wanting to be loved and accepted and connected, and, you know, having patterns that, you know, may have been adaptive at one point, but stop being adaptive.
Yes.
But it sounds like your trust in God and the knowingness that you had inside of you, you know, was strong enough to carry you through all of these really hard decisions.
Yes, and absolutely. I can't give credit to anything else, because I believed I was going to go to hell, and I didn't want to go to hell. So I had to stay close to God. Mm. And that's how my relationship developed with him. And I still have that relationship with him, and it is much easier, much more comfortable in many ways, because at first it was really uncomfortable. even though it was good, it was uncomfortable. It's like any new relationship, you know, you got to develop it. But you're right. It was that very pattern of knowing God. And when that knowing came, I also fell in love with Jesus. Nobody told me I should, but I write him a love letter every night secretly, because I knew if I'd share it with my family, they would say I was probably crazy because they didn't know him in that way. Mm. And it was a very dear treasure to me to have just this amazing freedom. It's the only way I know how to say it, is it set me free.
Mm-hmm. And
it still is the thing that I want to stay in, is the freedom to be movable and not become set again in a mindset.
Yeah. And the part of the story about going back and trying to, you know, stay connected to your family and repair any hurt that you may have caused by the choices that you made and the choices that they're making, you know, it, that persistence and that, you know, it sounds like, you know, family is such a huge value for you that, you know, you were doing what you knew was right. But at the same time, it sounds like you also knew repairing that was somehow going to set you free in another way as well.
It's still important to me. And then I didn't have children of my own. So I went through years of grieving with that then. Mm. So there was just some things that were really important to me that didn't work out the way that I thought it would. And that's what finally led me to, because I wouldn't quit, I said, okay, after, you know, I grieved for a season of not having children, I got another lift. And that was to become a voice, to share what was in my heart. And that is why I'm doing this podcast today, mm-hmm. because prior to that next, it was almost like a breaking free again, because I didn't have a platform. I didn't know what my story was. What do I need to talk to people about? Mm-hmm. And that break free came again after, 16 years, 17 years after my first one. Mm. And then I wrote a book, and my title of my book is Pretty Much Everything You Try Doesn't Work. Mm. And that can sound kind of negative, but if you think about it, don't we all start out in new seasons, whether we start our own business, whether we start a new marriage, whether we start with a new child, you know, we get the new baby, we read all the books, we do everything mama said, and the baby still doesn't sleep all night. You know, there's just like almost everything we do, it's not all what we talk about.
Yeah. So it's almost like learning how to, you know, learn by trial and error, or by trusting, you know, the direction that you're getting one step at a time.
And if you do that, that will propel you forward, and to know that the temporary setbacks don't have to stop you permanently.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, what would be like just one message that you would like to sort of leave the listeners with, if they, you know, could just know one pearl of wisdom, what would it be?
I constantly, and I believe this is universal, we all need to guard against the complacency that, if we've grown to a certain level, then if we don't keep growing, there's a stagnation that starts taking place, and we become fakes. Mm. We become people who are not, we're not living our full potential anymore, because there's something built into us that is meant to continually grow. And something that I do from time to time, and I think, this would help everyone listening, is to constantly be evaluating what's working in my life, what's not working. And then being clear about who we are, who am I and who am I not? What am I willing to put up with? What am I not willing to put up with? You know, we all know if we're married, we're going to have to put up with some things. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get a perfect partner or perfect children or a perfect job or a perfect business or a perfect community, a perfect nation. But what are we willing to put up with and what are we not willing to put up with? And then be true of what gives us the right to say or be this. Is this even in our lane to take any thoughts into, or are we getting out of our lane and we're not taking care of what is our responsibility?
Right. Wow. Okay. And I know that you have a free offer or a gift that you would like to share with people.
Yes. My 5 steps that I just talked about, how to break free, are on a PDF that is free to you. That sounds kind of redundant, but you can also connect with me that way. And it's www.everythingyoutry.com, which that is my website. And then if you put in /breakfree, you can get my free download of the 5 steps. And there's also links that you can connect with me and set an appointment. And I'd be glad to visit with you and see what's working in your life and what is not, and who you are and what you would like to see. That's everythingyoutry.com/breakfree.
Okay, awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Marian. I mean, it sounds like, you know, the real message that I'm hearing and taking away is, you know, that when you take responsibility for your emotions and your beliefs and your choices around them, you know, you can take steps, you know, that will help you get out of that oppression or depression, but that it really helps when you have the support that you need. And if you have that trust, you know, in God or a higher source or higher wisdom, you know, that's a knowingness inside of yourself that what you are doing is actually, you know, what is the highest good, even if it's not easy.
Yeah. And if it's the highest good, it's probably not easy.
Yes, I was about to say. It's probably the case, right? So, yeah. So anyway, well, thank you. Are there any last words that you want to share before we complete for today?
I would say live your life full out. Don't settle for something that's not working. And be careful that you don't throw things away too quickly. You know, sometimes a marriage is not working or things are not working with the kids. Don't throw it away too quickly, because breaking free and leaving a culture, leaving a family is a hard, hard road. And you really have to have a deep core strength to carry you through that. So sometimes we need to break free from, like I did, I was at that place where I don't think I would have survived if I hadn't, but be careful how quick you do that and how easy you do that. The people that we want on our break free, on the other side of our break free, then we shouldn't leave those people. So I think there's a loyalty that is very important, that people become free, but they stay loyal to what is important to them.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Marian. This has been really, really insightful. And I hope that all the listeners out there who, you know, are in a potential break free situation in their life have gained some real wisdom and some, you know, practical tips about, you know, not only what the journey is like, but also about, you know, what you can potentially do to, you know, see if that's even necessary in the first place.
Yes. And thank you so much, Mary Jo, for inviting me. And thank you, guests, for listening to me.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Marian. I'm Mary Jo Rathgeb, life transition coach and founder of Creative Directions for Living. I'll meet you at the crossroads where creativity and courage await.